Women have been giving birth for centuries, so it's a pretty natural experience, right? Wrong. I'm Stephanie King, professional doula, childbirth educator, and the creator of the My Essential Birth course, the online childbirth education course that's helping women everywhere confidently achieve their best birth. Today's culture would have us think that birth should be treated like an illness or an emergency, and that most of us need other people telling us what's best for our bodies because we aren't the experts. So sit tight, because if you're tuning into this podcast, you'll probably start to believe in your body, your intuition, and find yourself empowered and confident to do what it takes to have the birth of your dreams. If you like listening to me take you through these weekly topics step by step, then you're going to love the My Essential Birth course. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and definitely head over to myessentialbirth.com for the free downloads mentioned right here in these episodes and to join the birth course and community full of pregnant moms just like you. I have to add a disclaimer that I am not a medical professional and I cannot provide medical advice. All of the information expressed in this podcast are based off of personal, professional, and educational experiences and are my own opinions. Please work with a provider you trust for medical advice during your pregnancy and birth. All right, let's get started with a reviewer of the week. This week, it is Debbie Loves Dan, and she says, so thankful I found this podcast. I'm in a first-time pregnancy in my 30s, and I saw someone else mention this podcast a few weeks ago. Well, I've been binging it every day since. I even make my husband listen when we're both in the car, and I'm just going to pause there and say, take note, moms. That's a really great way to trap them into listening to the podcast. They're going to love it. I feel empowered when I go to my OB appointments and ask the questions. My husband and I signed up for the birth course last night, and I'm so excited to get started. Thank you for helping me feel confident in my first pregnancy. Thank you so much. What an excellent review. I love it. I love you're in your 30s. You're binging the podcast. Hopefully you're going to do all the work. It sounds like you're diving into the birth course. We're excited to have you in there. So cool. And I hope you enjoy today's episode because it is all about another birth story. These are quickly becoming the most popular and definitely my favorite podcast to do. So without further ado, Valerie, will you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, I'm Valerie and I am 23-year-old mom. I have my 15-month-old now. So it's been a few months since my actual birth, but I think just the whole experience has been great. I am a life coach and a healer with Reiki, and I live in Northern San Diego and have just been living life.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, I'm from Southern California, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you're like speaking my love language with, yes. Okay. We recently moved to Florida and it's all about the like ocean and palm trees and good weather for me. I'm a West Coast girl and I miss my West Coast life. But anyways, I'm going to live through you right now. So that's fine.
Yeah, but you guys have warmer water.
We do have warmer water. That's true. But we don't have waves, at least on the bay side where we are. And that was a little sad because I could just sit and watch the waves forever. But it's okay. I'll live. Okay. I feel like, too, you said Reiki. Yes. And what else?
I do Reiki and life coaching.
A life coach. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I feel like that's a whole other conversation we could have. That's really neat. But okay, so tell me a little bit about your pregnancy. So was this your first pregnancy? How did it go for you? Anything that came up, like changing providers or extra testing, or you were GBS positive, anything that happened during your pregnancy?
Yeah, so this was my first pregnancy. And overall, my pregnancy was very easy. And I still live with like my grandma and my mom. So it's a very multi-generational house right now. There's four generations living under one roof. And they were like so jealous. Like they were commenting on my pregnancy all the time because they were both extremely sick throughout their entire pregnancies. And they're just like, you have the easiest pregnancy ever. But I feel like overall, and it was really easy. I think for me, my biggest symptoms in the beginning, I would get like faint if I didn't eat every 2 to 3 hours. I would start like getting really dizzy. And then that luckily went away around 20 weeks. And I did have to switch providers. I originally went under the assumption that you could only give birth at home or at a hospital. Like I didn't know that there was a birth center. And I have, because I am Black, I had always been heard the stories of how Black women are more likely to have and like to more likely to die during childbirth or more likely to have severe complications during labor in a hospital. And this always frightened me because I didn't want my race to affect my care. Like, I didn't want that to be the reason why I'm leaving my birth with trauma. And that was very important to me. And so I, because of Twitter, I like saw like a someone giving birth in like a pool, and she was talking about how she was napping during labor and like how she was just like having the time of her life, and she was a Black woman. And that inspired me to like start looking more into it. So I was originally seen an OB, and the experience wasn't that great. Like, it was just, how are you? Hello? Okay, you're looking good. Bye. Any questions? Like, heartbeat, we're good. And yeah. I finally like did some more research and I found out about birth centers. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like exactly what I wanted, because I wanted something that wasn't at home, but wasn't at a hospital either. Like, I wanted to give birth in my way, but I didn't want to give birth in a very medicated, like structured type of way. I wanted to follow my own rhythms. And I finally discovered a birth center, and it was like the best thing ever.
That's awesome. How did you find out about a birth center then? What was it that tipped you off?
It was just Googling. I was just like, okay, so like home births, like how to give birth unmedicated. Like, it was just like a lot of Google search. And luckily there was a birth center that's only 5 minutes away from me. And it was,
Yeah, it was there the whole time.
So I just took a tour, and it was just like everything that I wanted. And it was honestly like perfect.
That's awesome. How did your birth partner feel about all of that?
I think the hardest part was like the finances, because the birth center can cost more depending on your insurance. But I found it funny because with insurance, I still had a huge copay after every appointment. And if I would have added up all the copays with meeting with my OB plus the hospital visit, especially since he came out on New Year's, it would have been way more than paying the birth center anyways. And
interesting.
Yeah, which I feel like some people can consider that, especially if you're not.
Yeah.
It's if your visits aren't fully covered, it could end up costing the same amount, if not be cheaper. But he was just like gung-ho. He was just like, yeah, we can do this. Like, let's just learn about it more. And he was very supportive. So I was very grateful for that.
That's awesome. So about how many weeks were you when you went from meeting with an OB that was planning to give hospital birth to meeting with a midwife for an out-of-hospital birth?
I was about around 20 weeks. It was a little bit before. I want to say it was like around 18 weeks that I made the switch.
That's awesome. Was there anything that stood out to you when you met with the out-of-hospital provider versus your experience with the OB that told you this is where I'm supposed to be?
Yes. I think it was just like the way that she would talk about like birth and just like having like the birth tub, because I really wanted to give birth in the water. And I don't know if I'm pretty sure you're from San Diego, but the San Diego hospital actually has like the attached like birth center wing to the hospital. So they have like tubs at the hospital, but that hospital is like an hour away from me. And it just wasn't necessarily as realistic, especially with like traffic and just like thinking about like laboring that long. I was like, there has to be some middle ground. And just talking to the midwife and about how her reassurance too with like the fact that the medical interventions aren't as common in that type of midwifery space, especially with Black women. And then also going into the center, and just because it is a student midwifery practice. So a lot of student midwives actually go to that place to practice midwifery care. And just seeing so many different faces, seeing so many different like diversity, and being able to like see that and hear that, and the fact that they take Medi-Cal, and seeing how much effort and care that they put in actually serving women and serving their birth process was like, this is where I need to be. Like, the power of women, it was just so beautiful. And just, it seemed like she cared rather than my OB being like, hey, okay, bye. It was just a feeling of being there.
Yeah, that's really neat. And I love hearing that they take things like Medi-Cal as well. It actually wasn't until I came here to Florida that I realized, and I don't know if it's just a Florida thing, I haven't looked into it too much, but there's a lot of doulas here in Florida that take that state health care. And so I guess state health care must pay a portion of it or something, which I think is really neat that they're starting to cover that. So that's pretty cool. Talk to me a little bit about your birth partner. You mentioned that he was really supportive and all of that. When you guys were kind of maybe talking about, you know, moving from hospital to birth center, or just like general communication about your pregnancy and birth and what you desired for that, what did that look like for you guys?
It was just kind of like him supporting where I wanted to give birth. He is also in the military, so there was a potential of him being deployed during like the middle of my pregnancy. So we were a little bit like, okay, like let's try to get all like set the foundation so that way if this does happen, that everything is taken care of. And I think that also influenced him just being like, whatever you want, like we're just going to do it. We'll figure it out. And he was very supportive. I would also always send him your guys' podcast and be like, you need to listen to this episode, you need to listen to that episode, and like just really just trying to get him to be my doula, basically, because I didn't have the opportunity to have a doula separate. And I also just felt more comfortable with him, just it being very intimate at my birth. And he showed up. We would like, when we also got the course, we would also like practice like the different positions, and like he would like help me and like massage. It was just very, he was very hands on, and I feel very grateful for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. It makes all the difference to have a birth partner that is like in it with you, that they're just as, they're not just supportive, but they're like doing it with you. I think that's huge. Talk to me a little bit about how you guys prepared, and maybe there's some stuff that you did kind of on your own, maybe some mental work or something like that. Even some physical practices that you did, but what were those like everyday things? How did that look for you preparing? And then how did you guys do that together? You mentioned some like relaxation practice and listening to podcasts and things, but, kind of the nitty gritty details behind that.
Yeah. So I know you talk about Enneagrams, and I'm an Enneagram 3. So I need to do everything that I possibly can. Yeah. I am very controlling, and I kind of went into the mindset of I'm going to do everything I possibly can. So that way, if my birth goes completely opposite way, I can say that I tried my best, and I won't look back at it being like, I wonder if, what if I did this, or I wonder if I did that. So I literally did every single thing that you could think of to prepare you for birth. Like I was doing the hypnosis from your guys's course, and also from the app. What is it called? Forgot what it was called, but there's a hypnosis app that I use, and I would use that nightly as well as your guys's recorded hypnosis. I would also do like this work. Oh, it's called the Gentle Birth app. And they also had a workbook if you purchased the app. So I was also going through those workbook questions. I was doing perineum massages. I was doing red raspberry leaf tea. And I was doing the dates. And I would also do all your guys' 3 easy stretches every single day. And I would also do yoga every single day. That was a practice even before pregnancy. So I just kind of like brought it into my pregnancy. And I think that really helped me stay active. And I started going on more walks too towards the end of my pregnancy. And I also got massages with like people. And then I also did like a float therapy, which is like that super salt magnesium water where you're just like floating on top. That was like so crazy.
Did you love that?
It was amazing. It was awesome. I highly recommend at least once in your pregnancy.
Do you feel like you have to like prepare to do that? Or like, I feel like I might go crazy if I was stuck in just a pod by myself with my thoughts for however long.
Yeah, I feel like the meditation, if you're used to meditation, I think you'll be good. And it's dark too, but you can like choose to play music. But yeah, no, it was crazy. I felt like I even had like a spiritual experience with like communicating with my baby. So it was just like, It was very...
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was very, like, calming and reassuring because I did have some anxiety during my pregnancy. And having these relaxation techniques and having these resources allowed me to kind of, like, come back into my body rather than, like, staying in my mind of my anxiety. Mm. And I also did, like, the pelvic floor physical therapy. I'd have appointments about every 4 weeks. I also did chiropractor. I did anything and everything that you could possibly think of.
I love it. Yeah, that's a nice long list of things to do to prepare. And you mentioned red raspberry leaf. You mentioned dates. Did you do anything else as you started approaching that guest date to help encourage things to be soft or open or anything like that?
Yeah, so I did switch out my desk chair to a yoga ball, and I would do like movements awesome. All the time and the squats and like... I'd do like all of the poses that you guys recommended and like just trying to keep my hips and like my body very stretchable.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so take me through the birth from that very first contraction. How did it all start? How many weeks were you? I'm actually curious too if you're open to that. Did you do any kind of like vaginal exam? Did you have any idea of maybe what your Bishop score was or what was happening on the inside before you went into labor?
Yeah, so I declined any and all cervical checks. I did not want anyone in my vagina. So I just declined them all. And my midwife at the time, she was like, okay, we could do that. There's definitely possible where there's births without cervical checks. So I had no idea going into it. I remember we got to the 40-week mark and we were talking about, okay, so like how this is going to go. And mind you, this is like December 22nd. So this is like right before, or like around that time. So it was like right before Christmas, like right during the holiday season. And we're like talking about like maybe... like seeing if the due date was like right or like trying to like really get like my mind to be ready for this. And I did end up having prodromal labor for a lot of December, and I had a lot of intense Braxton Hicks. So it's like it wasn't prodromal labor, but it wasn't Braxton Hicks. It was just like painful contractions, but it wasn't like consistent or going through. And throughout, so a few days before I actually went into labor, I had prodromal labor every single night that would just like go away during the day. Luckily, I was still able to go to sleep, so I was fine with that, but it was just getting really discouraging to not have a baby. So I was getting a little discouraged and just getting a little frustrated. I ended up going into labor 40 weeks and 3 days. Is when I went into labor. So it was still pretty earlier than most first-time moms. And it was December 30th of 2021. And it was around 6 p.m. And I was used to having like those mild contractions every night. So I wasn't thinking much of it. And they would be about like 6 minutes apart. And they would always last a minute. But my contractions the entire labor were never 411, never 311. I never had consistent contractions, not once during my entire labor. So it was a little discouraging to see that as well, because I was like waiting for them to become consistent and they never became consistent. And so I was just kind of like playing, we ended up playing like Phase 10, which is like a card game with like my family. And I remember like I was sitting there and I was like, okay, I was getting more and more uncomfortable. And in my mind, like the contractions got more like intense. They were still pretty mild, but they were like, I had to like breathe through them. Like I had to be present for them. And so then I like dramatically just like pushed away and I like went to go get my exercise ball so I could like move through them a bit more. And I was like doing my hip stretches while I was like playing the card game. And I was just like really trying to keep in mind like, okay, just like keep doing life. Like I'm not going to stop what I'm doing to go back into my contractions. And I ended up laboring all night. And I was like, I don't know if this is it. I don't know if this is actually going to be it because of the disappointment with the prodromal labor for the few days beforehand.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't want to get excited. So I was just kind of like, maybe this isn't it. This is just really intense prodromal labor. But I was contracting through the entire night. I couldn't go to sleep. My partner was there for most of it, but I graciously, selflessly let him sleep for some hours because I needed him to be awake during the pushing part. So he took a nap. Yeah. And then finally, I think around 5 a.m., I was able to go to sleep, and I was just using like the gentle birth contraction timer. They would talk to you through the contraction during the timer, which was really cool. And that's kind of like what helped me got through it. I also was doing the mile circuit throughout the entire night. And I ended up falling asleep in like child's pose with like a pillow under my belly and like laying on a pillow. And I slept until around 11 a.m. And I only woke up twice with contractions. And from that.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, I got a really good rest. And then I ate breakfast. I had a full on breakfast, like a full plate of a lot of food, which was so nice. Highly recommend eat during your labor. It is the best thing.
I agree.
Yeah. And so then I was also like texting my midwife, like, I don't know if this is prodromal labor. She's like, it's probably prodromal labor, like, especially with how inconsistent the contractions were. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm not going to get excited. We're just like texting her throughout this. And this day was December 31st. So it's New Year's Eve. And we're just kind of like going about our day. We had plans to like go to my partner's family's house for New Year's Eve. And we're like, okay, well, if it's prodromal labor, it'll probably stop by like then and we can like go and whatever. And nothing was happening. So after that, we ended up going for like a walk and we were just like walking. And then like a cat even like was following us throughout this entire walk, which was like so cute. Yeah, it was so cute. And then I did like the sidestep, the curb walking for a bit too, just to like try to get something going. And nothing was like working. And I was just getting so discouraged at this time. I think like my contractions were like 4 minutes apart and all my contractions lasted a minute. Like I never had 30-second contractions. They all lasted a minute, were all pretty mild to intense. And I just remember feeling so discouraged because I just kept telling myself, I'm like, okay, if this is labor, it's only going to last like 5 to 6 hours, 7 hours max. And so then I'm like, okay, well, 7 hours are over, maybe like 2 more hours. And then 2 more hours have passed. I'm like, okay, any second now I'm going to be going into labor just to kind of like get myself to keep going. But it didn't happen that way, unfortunately. So we ended up going back inside. I ate another huge meal and then I took another nap. And this nap, I was waking up every 7 to 10 minutes. So my contractions got slower and I was waking every 7 to 10 minutes with a super intense contraction and then just going back to sleep. And around this time, my partner was being a lot more hands-on, like rubbing my back, like giving me hip squeezes. I was really trying not to use hip squeezes until I really needed them, because I remember you guys saying like once they start, like they can't stop. And so I was like, I need it when I really need it. And so it was just that. And then I woke up and it was like, I think it was around 4 p.m. and we were just like chilling. I was just on the yoga ball, just moving my hips, living life, going through contractions. And they were a lot less intense after the nap. And so we were still like texting my midwife, like keeping her updated just in case like this escalated. But I was like, there's no way I'm going to a New Year's Eve party. Like, I'm so tired. And we ended up like packing our birth bags like a little bit, like with like the more perishable stuff. Like I put like food and a few extra things in there just to ensure, just in case like we had to transfer to the hospital or anything, I had everything with me, or if I wanted snacks when we got to the birth center. And we kind of just chilled. I think it was around 7 p.m. I had my bloody show for the first time. I was waiting for it because I was like waiting for any sign of active labor to tell me that this was the real deal. And I finally got my bloody show, but I was still telling myself, like, anytime there'd be a sign that active labor was here, I'd still be like, okay, but you could still get your bloody show and not be in active labor. So it was just like, I was just gaslighting writing myself. It all off. Yeah. Yeah, I just did not want to be disappointed. And we were texting my midwife. She's like, okay, yeah, you're probably still in labor. Like, just labor at home. Like, you know, just chill. We're like, okay. Luckily, my midwife lived in the same town, too. So she would be able to get there at the same time as we got there, since she lived as far away from the birth center as we did. And we just, like, kept, I ate dinner. And I was drinking lots of water throughout this time because I really did not want to have an IV, because I have, like, every time there's a needle in me, I faint. So the idea of having to be hooked up to an IV, I was like, labor would be over. Like, I'd be gone. So, yeah. So I knew that I needed to stay hydrated throughout this entire time. So I was drinking, like, coconut water, pineapple juice, like, just regular water. And, I made sure to, like, coach my partner, too. I was like, just keep offering me water throughout the entire labor. So he'd always, like, fill it up and give me water and, like, snacks and stuff, which was very helpful. And I think around 10 p.m., I decided to put a diaper on because I was like, okay, you know, if my water starts leaking, that way I have, like, my diaper on already. I don't have to worry about it. And I'm so glad I did, because I was in child's pose on the bed. And I had, like, a super intense contraction because my contractions were getting so intense. Like, it was taking everything in me to focus through them. I was still very quiet throughout them all. Like, I wasn't really making noises. I was just focusing on my breath, because breathing was the most helpful to me during my contractions. I don't think I could have gotten through 30 hours of labor if it wasn't for breathing techniques. So that was, like, my saving grace. And he was giving me a hip squeeze from behind, and literally I just heard this pop, and, like, we both were like, it scared me out of my contraction, and and he thought he broke a bone. So it was just like, he was freaking out. And then,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And then I was freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, what just happened? Like, what the heck was that? And then all of a sudden there was just this gush, like a huge, like, waterfall out of my vagina. And I was so happy that I wore a diaper, because I would have been all over the bed, and that would have been so annoying to come back to, or to even fix. That's
some intuition right there.
Yeah, for sure. And so I had to switch diapers right then and there. So I did that, and we texted my midwife that my water broke, and she's like, okay, like, do you guys want to come in, or do you want to, like, stay at home? And we're like, we'll stay at home for a little bit. So we kind of, like, finished getting everything ready, and we, like, made sure everything was, like, set up and got the very last minute things for the hospital bag packed. And we, about an hour and a half later, we ended up leaving. So it was around 11:30, and we got there, and I was still pretty, like, quiet, very internal. And she, like, checked on the baby's heartbeat, checked my, like, my vitals and everything. And she, like, the midwives just kind of, like, left us alone. They're like, yeah, they, like, set up the tub, and they're like, yeah, just do your thing and, like, close the door. And we're, like, talking. They're like, the walls are thin, so we'll hear you when we need to come in. And I'm like, okay. And they would, like, check in on us every, like, 30 minutes to an hour, or unless we, like, asked for it. But I remember just, like, the contractions were extremely intense, and I was like, okay, like, this has to be transition. And I think I was, like, sitting on the toilet. Those were the most horrible contractions ever, the most painful. And I was, like, getting in and out of the bathtub, getting on the bed. Like, I just could not get comfortable. And then finally, like, around midnight, they, like, came in, and they're like, Happy New Year. And, like, they were, like, checking vitals again. And then they left, and I went in the tub, and I was just, like, I started, like, low moaning. Like, I was starting to, like, make noises. And it was at this time that I think I was having pushing contractions. And I think that's why my contractions hurt so bad, because I was avoiding them. I was not following the instinct to push. And I'd like slightly push, but like I would be scared. So then I'd like kind of like run away from my contraction. It was like the first time that I was like avoiding my contractions, and it made them so much more painful. And so I was just like in the tub for a while. And then I started like, I wouldn't say screaming, but it's like in between like a moan and a scream. I was just getting very like guttural. And around 2 a.m., I started pushing. And my midwives were coming in because they heard me, obviously. They're like, okay, baby's coming. They're like setting up. And the best thing, like being in the tub, was having that fan, like the stroller fan. Just, mm-hmm. That was like my partner's only job after that point, was just to hold the stroller fan right in front of my face because it was so hot. And especially in the tub, it was just extremely hot. And my midwife, because my grandma had, what's it called? Where your uterus like comes out of your prolapse. She had prolapse, and I was terrified of prolapse. I have hyperextensive joints, and apparently if you have hyperextensive joints, you're more likely to have prolapse because your muscle tissue is softer than other people who don't have hyperextensive joints. And I was terrified of it. So my midwife was like putting counter pressure on my perineum the entire time that I was pushing, which also helped to like direct where I wanted to push. And that was helpful. And during this time, I was so internal. Like I couldn't even open my eyes. I could barely speak. It was just like contraction after contraction after contraction. And this was when I was finally like, okay, I need to go to the hospital. Like, I'm over this, like, but then it would be funny because then I'd be, like, logical about it. I'd be like, okay, but, like, if I'm already pushing and I want a C-section, by the time I get there, which is 30 minutes away, I'm probably going to already have the baby by, like, the time I end up getting there. Like, there wasn't a point at that point. And I'm like, okay, I just got to finish it. I'm like, maybe I can go in an ambulance. Maybe it'll only be 15 minutes. But I would just like talk myself out of it. I was like, there isn't a point anymore. I was like, I have to just go through with this. And I was like, I would remember your guys' stories too about how like when you wanted to give up is like right when it would about to happen. I'm like, okay, maybe this is still transition. Like, who knows? And I remember just my midwives, they were like, because he was like coming out and then going back in and then coming out and going back in. And they're like, you can feel his head. And I could not move. I was like paralyzed. I was like kind of like in the, like on my knees holding onto the tub. And that was like my position that I ended up landing in. And I was like frozen in that state. And I got to the point where I realized that I was like scared. I realized that I was scared to become a mom. And I remember you guys saying like, if there's any blocks, like mental blocks, like communicate them out loud, and that can release like the physical block as well. And so I told my partner, and he reassured me. And then after that, it was like the baby like pretty much was coming out. I had like the ring of fire, and it wasn't like that much longer afterwards. And then his head came out, and like I could not touch him. I was like frozen solid. Like the pushing stage was so hard for me. I was like paralyzed. And then the rest of his body came out, and I finally had him in my arm. So it was such a relief when he finally came out.
Wow, that's really neat. I really like that you mentioned in there that just that mental block that you were talking about and the physical release that can happen. Also having support there that when you say it, you have somebody that can like relay back to you, you know, I understand that you're feeling that and like you're going to do great, you know, and that might not be true. So that's really powerful. That's pretty neat. Do you remember, or are you maybe able to describe what contractions felt like when they started and then as they progressed? Like you talked about them, like towards the end, they did get much stronger. They were closer together. But where did you feel them? How did you know, like when it switched into I'm in labor now, or even just like prodromal labor, like the real thing now?
I think in the beginning, it was like more crampy. and just kind of like feeling like a little sluggish. I don't know. It's just more like period cramps. And then I think as it like got a little bit more mild, it started turning more into like that wave sensation that everyone talks about. Like it gets worse and then it like gets better. And I think towards the end, it was just like a super intense period cramp, but like as a wave, like it's like them combined. And then transition or like the pushing when they're on top of each other is just like, I don't even know, like almost like stabbing pains, but like not like like stabbing with a knife, but like internal stabbing pains. And that was the hardest for sure for me.
Yeah. How about what was your birth partner doing throughout this process before he got in charge of holding the fan? How else was he supporting you?
Yeah, so the best thing I did, again, I'm a control freak, was I created an entire list of affirmations to tell me, of like things to do, like if this happens, what to do here, if that happens, what to do here. And I just gave it to him and I was like, here, this is everything that I want. This is everything that I expect. And so he was kind of like giving me those affirmations. He was rubbing my back. He was like handing me water. He was kind of like helping me just like move throughout the day, helping me walk, helping me like get going, and like even offering me like solutions. Cause I also put like, oh, if this is stalled, here are things that you can do here. Like he would like tell me like, oh, maybe we can try this or maybe we can try that. And just like very, like he was very supportive, like active during most of the labor. And I think it was super helpful to have even like a list of like affirmations that I wanted to be said throughout my labor, because
yeah,
it like helped me keep going.
That's awesome. Did you any time during your labor have a vaginal exam then?
No.
I love it. Because it's like the way that you hear things done today, it's like, oh, you can't have a baby without somebody knowing where you are and us telling you, are you ready to push? Are you ready to do this? But that's so not true. And I love, love, love that you are sharing that, because that's the reality of it. Nobody ever has to touch your downstairs area and you can still successfully have a baby. That's just the body works whether or not somebody knows what's going on inside. So that's pretty cool. Okay. I have one more question. I wanted to ask how you found comfort, or what techniques and tools you used during contractions to get yourself through. So was it like a lot of swaying, like kind of like the physical stuff? And then were you doing self-talk? Did your partner ever end up doing a ton of counter pressure, or you kept like holding him off and then you're like, ah, now you have to hold a fan?
Yeah. So it was in the beginning, it was mainly my breath and movement. Breathing was like my saving grace. And I would usually like sway my hips. I remember laboring a lot on the ball, or I would be in Miles circuits positions. And he did do counter pressure, mainly before we left the birth center. And then I don't really remember him doing it when we got to the birth center, like after the water broke. I think he only did it like a few times. He was also kind of scared to do counter pressure after he thought he like broke my bone, so he was like a little nervous. And I remember just like, I think it was mainly just like moving my hips was, and breathing was like my biggest things. Like I don't think I could have gone through labor at all if I didn't learn breathing techniques.
Yeah, that's huge. Okay. Well, I love to end these episodes with the like best advice that you have for moms and for birth partners. So what would you say that is to those who are listening?
I'd say the best advice is to be over-prepared if you can, to have resources in place to allow your birth to go any which way, because even if it does go some way, you have the resources, knowledge, experience to implement things so that way it's not happening to you, but it's happening for you, and you can still allow it to move in its natural progression. And also just repetition. The subconscious mind works by the more you give it information, the more it becomes ingrained and becomes a habit. And having the podcast and the course in my ear for most of my pregnancy, everything was already like subconsciously ingrained into me. So I didn't even have to like think about things because I already knew what to do, and like my body knew what to do because it was a subconscious habit. And if your partner isn't great at hearing advice and remembering it, having like a notes of everything that you want can be very helpful in giving them the information that you want them to know, so that way they can support you during that.
I love that. And what advice, if any, do you have for birth partners that are listening?
I'd say just like support them and just like take whatever they give you and just like listen. Even like ask questions, take notes if you like struggle with remembering. Just kind of like be their support and know that you're going through the labor with them, but you're not the one going through labor. So you don't know best, but having solutions and not taking things personally can be very helpful throughout the entire process.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. That's excellent. Thank you, Valerie. Thank you for your time and for your birth story. I know it's going to serve many women, so I greatly appreciate you being here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's so cool being on the other side of this podcast, and I really appreciate it.
That's it for this week, but make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you get notifications first as I drop new episode every week. And don't forget to head over to myessentialbirth.com for all of the free downloads mentioned here and to join the birth course and community serving pregnant moms just like you. If you enjoyed this and other episodes, I would love it if you would take a few minutes to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I read every single one and include one at the beginning of each episode. See you next week.